Well, welcome to the show, everybody. This is your host, Ken D. Foster. I'm so glad that you made it today. This is going to be an incredible show. We're going to be talking about how to rebuild, realign, and feel good, right? Some of you do need to rebuild. Some of you are going through health challenges right now. Some of you are going through chronic health challenges that you've had for many years. Maybe you've just had a weird diagnosis, or you know somebody that's had a weird diagnosis. Weird meaning, you know, not so good, right? And if that's you, then this is the show for you. You want to pay attention to this show. You know, there's new healing modalities out in the world today. And, you know, if we're telling the same old story that, oh, this is never going to heal, this is going to be the way it is, then, you know, you're getting the wrong information. You need to learn how to see the unseeable, see what's not there right now, know the unknowable, you know what's there, but you can't see it, right? And then do the impossible. Things are being healed in this world that we never thought could heal. Stage 4cancers are being healed constantly in this world. We've got chronic illnesses, autoimmune diseases that are being healed constantly in this world. We have cancers, autoimmune. We have what else? So, gosh, physical ailments, mental, emotional ailments that for years ago we didn't have the ability to heal, but now we do. We have great new medications and properties of herbs and probiotics and antibiotics and all kinds of stuff out there that if you don't know about them, though, you're not going to heal. So I've found out about a lot of these things over the years having this show, and I hope you'll stay tuned to it because I've got a guest today that has a huge story about how his father was diagnosed and ready to leave the planet and they healed it. You want to hear this. This is an important story. All right, I'm going to take a quick break. I'm going to come back. We're going to introduce my guest. Well, welcome back to this show, everybody. So Noah is here. Noah Hammond Tyrell is here. I'm so happy. And Noah, I want to introduce you. You know, Noah hit rock bottom, and then it got worse when his dad was diagnosed with terminal liver cancer. So what he did next challenged everything. And this story is an important story, Noah, to tell. Noah currently is the CEO of a hemp-based company, and we'll be talking about that too. But first, I want to take a deep dive into, listen, man, so all of a sudden, life changes for you and your wife. First of all, you make some business decisions and you crash, and now you're told your dad has terminal liver disease. What do you do? What happens?
Well, thanks for having me on the show, Ken, and hello, everybody watching. Yeah, it wasn't a great time. I had made some decisions in my business that had crashed it. So I've got no money in the bank. And to me, I'm like, oh, this is the worst thing ever. Then I get the phone call from my mother. Hey, Noah, your dad's really sick. He's in the hospital. You got to come down to San Diego. I was living in LA at the time. And you got to get him, see him in the hospital. So when I get there, he's laying on the table or on the bed. And he looks terrible. I mean, he's just gray. He's not himself. He'd lost 60 pounds in a month. And he looks up at me and says, it's cancer. And, you know, I could hear in his voice that it was a combination of apology and fear, right? And really hard to see, really hard to be seeing my dad that way, because he's a big guy. He's 6'7". He's larger than life. He's hilarious, right? He's loud. and here he is, you know, on this bed and with this 3 months to live diagnosis. The doctors didn't say, hey, this is our treatment plan, this is your chances of survival, this is what we're going to do for you. They said, sir, you know, get your affairs in order. You have about 3 months to live. And he had a tumor on his liver about this big, about the size of a mini football. And there's really, in modern Western medicine, they don't have a cure for stage 4 liver cancer with 60% of your liver covered in a tumor. Yeah. So
I'm going to pause you there because I have a story of my own real quick, and then I'll go back to your story. But I have a very close friend of mine. I was living in Sacramento at the time, and he had a stroke, and he had recovered from that stroke. It took him a year to recover. I went to the hospital with him that day that he was diagnosed with liver cancer, And he had on his liver a dot. It was about a little bigger than the size of maybe four pins heads put together. Wow. And he looked at that and he said to himself, I'm done. I'm not going to do this. I'm not doing anything the doctor said. I'm done. I'm going to, you know, they gave him 3 months to live, and he was dead in 3 months. See, this is a huge wow. thing that your dad did. That's my point. Okay. Wow. So go. Keep going with your story.
Yeah. Well, I think approach is everything. Mindset is everything. Prayer is everything. And I'll tell you what we did to be straight to the point. I went home, and I've been a holistic life and business coach for over 13 years now. And I've done training with all kinds of different healers and natural healers. And so I've been exposed to not just one, but multiple cures for cancer. And multiple thousands of examples of these cures working for people. So, but I had to also take consideration who my dad is and what seemed reasonable and what seemed like the wisest approach. And what we locked in on was two things. One was vegetable juicing, which my wife had used to cure her Epstein-Barr syndrome before, and we knew was a powerful healing modality all on its own. And we spoke to a holistic doctor friend of ours who said to specifically focus on beets and carrots, because they're very purifying for the liver, and my dad needed to rebuild his liver, right? So we figured, cool, let's give him the raw nutrition he needs to rebuild, and the prana, the energy, the life force he needs to rebuild his organ, right? And then the other thing we went with was a Rick Simpson oil protocol, or hemp oil protocol. The reason they call it RSO, or Rick Simpson oil, is because a guy named Rick Simpson from Canada really popularized it in the modern mimetic, right? But it's really essentially
well, hemp oil. Let me just stop you there for a second, because, you know, when I think about the size of that tumor, did the doctors want to cut? What did they want to do? They want to operate?
They did not think surgery was an option.
What's that?
They did not think surgery was an option.
Okay, and the funny so they had given up. There was no cure for this.
They were not offering a solution, no. And the funny thing is that after we had used our protocol to massively destroy the tumor to the point where it was little teeny tiny, and even after it was completely gone, that's when they started offering us surgeries. They're like, sir, we just want to cut a chunk of your liver out just to be sure. Like, after the tumor is completely gone, not to ruin the story. It went well.
It went well. So the tumor, after 30 days, how was the tumor after 30 days of doing the protocol? And then I want to take a little more dive into that protocol.
Yeah, so basically.
And by the way, we're not recommending this protocol for anybody. We're just telling you how this worked for Noah's dad. What's your dad's name?
Elliot.
Elliot. Okay. So go ahead.
So after 6 weeks, we did MRIs, blood work again, and the tumor had shrunk by over 30%. And at that point, we knew we were onto something, right? And so we just kept going with the protocol. And by 4 months, they gave him 3 months to live. By 4 months, he was completely cancer-free, zero tumor markers in his blood, zero tumor tissue, living or dead, left to be found in his body anywhere. Only every 6 months, because it's just clean, 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 no cancer. He just had his fourth, wasn't supposed to live to see it, birthday.
So let me break it down. Mentally, what did he do? What did he do in the mental side of this?
On the mental side of things, that's why I think this is a cool story too, because I know there are so many cases and instances of people who they love attraction, they focus, they visualize, they self-heal, and that's a huge part of their journey. My dad is sort of a stubborn dude who grew up in Queens, New York, and even to get him to drink his first juice, he's like, ah, that's gross. I said, Dad, I don't care if it's gross, if it's this or dying, you drink the damn juice, man, and I have a way of getting through to him, right?
Yeah, you did.
But what I will say is we had a massive amount of people praying for him. We had our church of our Ernest Holmes Church. I forgot what they're called, but my
Science of Mind.
Science of Mind Church was praying for him in that community. We submitted to the SRF, Self-Realization Fellowship, and they were praying for him. Everyone we knew was praying for him, and we cannot discount that we were able to hold him in a space of love, light, and healing alongside what we were doing physically. What I will say is that there was an emotional healing that came as a component of the amount.
And I was going to ask you that next, the emotional thing. I got to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about that emotional side and what happened there. We'll be right back.
Radio. The station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Well, welcome back, everybody. The name of the show today is The Courage to Rebuild, Realign, and Feel Good. We're talking about Noah's dad and his story right now. Noah, the emotional component of how your dad went, what he went through, or how he used emotions to heal, what happened there?
So I really think that the hemp, which was both high doses of CBD and THC, was a big part of his emotional healing. When you're taking that level of THC that we ramped him up over time, and I can give like the exact details, but he was taking a very high dosage of both CBD and THC by the height of the protocol. And there's no way not to have an emotional healing from that, because he was spending so much time in a reflective, stoned place, sitting, listening to music, you know, really stoned. So he had to just lay in bed and rest and let this medicine work through his body. And here's how I'll tell you that I know there was an emotional healing component to it. When the doctor saw the tumor, I don't know how they were able to assess this, but they said to us, we think this tumor has been growing for about 10 years. Now, if you flash back to 10 years before his diagnosis, it was 2008, the economy went to crap. His business he had a multi-million dollar family business in the space of weddings and events, photo, video production, and 80% of that industry in New Jersey got wiped out, which is where he was living at the time. And it was so bad that even some of his projects went unfinished. Like, all his editors had to be let go, the whole business had to close, and it hit him hard. And he went into a depression for sure. And in traditional Chinese medicine, they say that the liver is where we store excess anger, right? So 10 years prior, that's what was going on in his life. He went into a 10-year depression. And I'll contrast that with, on the other side of this healing, I was like, whoa, my dad's back. Like, his vibrancy, his aliveness, his presence, he was there. He wasn't living back in the past anymore. He was living back in the present. And you could just tell he was more jovial again. He was more fun to be around. He was more like his old self. And so that's how I know that there was an emotional healing component to this, regardless of if he did it by using techniques of his own willpower or just simply by receiving that amount of hemp medicine.
So let's talk now about the physical aspect and the that part. And then I'd actually like to talk about the spiritual aspect of this, you know, the growth that took place. But with the physical aspect of this, so dad gets the liver diagnosed, and, you know, doctors at that point weren't offering any solutions. He's got a tumor about the size of what, a grapefruit, something like that, on his liver.
Bigger. Almost like a football, mini football.
Almost like a football, wow. And he decides to listen to his son and his daughter-in-law and starts to go on these protocols. How tough was that for him? And then what was the physical protocol?
So I think because he had no other options, it wasn't that hard. I mean, yes, I had to convince and cajole him to get him to drink his beet carrot juice. But you know, when you're faced with death and someone offers a solution versus no solution coming from the modern Western medical, that was his choice. And, you know, he knows my path as a total woo-woo hippie who's been obsessed with spiritual self-healing techniques and mindset techniques and emotional healing techniques for all this time. And I've been teaching it for a long time too. So he just, I think, trusted and went with it. Now, the protocol itself, what it was, again, THC is psychoactive. It gets you high. So you can't start with a massive dose of THC or you'll be on a trippy trip. But we can start with high CBD dosage right away because that doesn't get you high. But here's the thing, CBD is generally anti-inflammatory across all your body systems. So it's very anti-cancer in that aspect. But when you have a live, active, aggressive cancer, you need the THC. THC is much more like a ballistic missile for cancer. Like, THC attacks and kills cancer, whereas CBD is much more holistically anti-inflammatory.
Is there any kind of research around that right now? Any studies around the THC side? I know there's a lot going on in CBD right now. How about on the THC side, specifically around cancer? Are there any stories? Any science that's been done around that?
So because of prohibition, it is horrendously limited in the amount of studies. And in fact, where you have to go to find the best studies is actually Israel, because they've legalized the scientific study of the hemp plant and its effects, including THC, for a lot longer than other countries have. So there's still an emerging body of work around this. Really where I get that knowledge from is the medicine maker who helped save my dad's life, who's been doing this for over 20 years in the underground, saving people's lives and doing what he did for my dad, you know? And so it's unfortunately limited in the amount of official scientific double blind types of studies that are out there, but there's going to be more and more emerging as prohibition is lifting, as people are realizing that this is by no means a class one drug, which means that it has no known medicinal benefit, which is obviously not true, and just a byproduct of prohibition and the desire to, I don't know, be able to easily throw hippies in jail who disrespect certain policies or whatever. But yeah, studies are limited, but they are out there. And so, but people at home can take this as an anecdotal evidence, right? Which is all I can really offer, because besides the THC and CBD and the juicing, that was all we gave my father. And, you know, every time he goes into the I'll leave out the name of the hospital, but the liver specialist that he worked with, who literally work with liver cancer patients exclusively, every time they see him, they say, "You're the healthiest guy with liver cancer we've ever seen." And this is what we did.
And that's what you did. Was there exercise involved too?
Not so much. I mean, he naturally, once he started feeling better, he started walking on his, just in, because he enjoyed it. But it wasn't a part of the protocol. And in fact, during the real height of the protocol, when we were really destroying the tumor, he was mostly just resting and, you know, a little bit of walking maybe, or a little bit of sitting outside time, maybe a little bit of earthing, putting his feet on the ground outside, but definitely by no means consistent. And the reason I think this story is cool too is because he also didn't do like the Gerson diet and get like incredibly strict. He naturally, because his body has its own innate intelligence, he naturally started eating cleaner. But it wasn't like, "Dad, you need to be on a strict raw vegan diet, or you need to eat no nightshades, or only these, or none of those." Like, it was more, we just said,
"Your dad probably wasn't going to do that anyway."
Exactly. So we said, "What's the 80-20? I said, "Well, we can give him the hemp oil capsules every day, and he can stick to that protocol, and we can deliver him juice every day." Literally, my wife and I, we packed up out of our apartment in LA, moved down to San Diego, sort of downsized, and I was literally buying beets from the grocery store by the case, like walking out of the store with a box full of 50 shucks of beets or whatever they're called, you know, bunches.
So you're the guy. I couldn't find any beets for a while down there in San Diego. I get it. Okay.
That was us. Sorry.
All right. Listen, I got to take a quick break. And when we come back, what I'd like to ask you, two things. I want to talk a little bit more about the CBD side of that and, you know, what any studies that may be coming out on CBD. And then, you know, you talk about the seven levels of change out of this. And I'd love to know what those seven levels of change are so my audience can really benefit from that. So we'll be right back. Well, welcome back, everybody. This is Ken Foster. What a great show we're having today, Noah. I just love your energy, your enthusiasm, and, you know, your story about your dad's healing. It's very inspiring, I think, to a lot of people where, you know, sometimes, you know, there is no hope. There's no hope sometimes in our Western medicine. Western medicine is awesome. You know, I had a shoulder injury and they went in and they, you know, fixed me all up. That was awesome, you know. Yeah. But when it comes to some of these things, like some of the cancers and things out there, sometimes it's not so great. And we, you know, once you get that diagnosis that says we can't do anything, what are you going to do? Well, that's what we're talking about today. We're talking about Noah's story around that. So CBD, what, you know, you've got a company around it now. You've got a CBD company. Congratulations. Yeah. What's going on with CBD in the world right now, as far as the science behind it?
So the science is ever emerging. It's very much a new field. And what I really want people to know, is that the real miracle is not CBD. It is our own body system called the endocannabinoid system. Cannabinoid is just a fancy word for a type of compound. CBD is a cannabinoid. THC is a cannabinoid. There's many cannabinoids. There's over 114 of them in the hemp plant. But in the endocannabinoid system in our body, basically, anytime these receptor sites come in contact with a cannabinoid, it helps to regulate the harmony and the functioning of that body system. And these receptor sites are literally throughout our entire body. They're in our brain. They're in all of our major organs. They're in our blood, our muscles, our bones. In fact, cannabinoids are such a natural part of how our body regulates its own harmony that there is cannabinoids passed in mother's breast milk from mother to child, right? So the reason everyone's been hearing about CBD and the reason that you keep hearing about how many different things it does for people, right? It helps me sleep to, oh, it relieves my pain or my arthritis. I have people who've fixed their gut issues with it. I have people who fixed early onset dementia with it. I've had people who lose weight or regulate their blood sugar with it. So many different things. You wonder, how is CBD so magical? It's actually that we have this system in our body that regulates harmony. And CBD or cannabinoids are the input that help it to function. Just like if we were taking vitamin C or vitamin D, or if you were like a sailor and didn't get vitamin C for an entire year, you might have a problem in your body. Or if you had very low vitamin D, like they found that a study found that over 94% of people who had serious COVID symptoms or died from COVID were vitamin D deficient. There's problems that arise in your body when you have deficiencies of these compounds. And the same is true with cannabinoids. And the real deal is that cannabinoids used to be much more present in our diets. We used to have fields of hemp everywhere in this country. Cows used to eat the hemp. Then you eat a steak, and guess what? You get some cannabinoids. But because of prohibition and because of the limiting of the hemp plant and its usage in our culture, we've taken the cannabinoids out of our diet. And so what scientists are really figuring out is that what people have is a cannabinoid deficiency, and CBD is one of the simplest, easiest, most effective ways to saturate your endocannabinoid system. And then typically in any system, it's just like the weakest link breaks first. So if you have not enough cannabinoids in your body, maybe you get stomach issues, or maybe you get brain issues, or maybe you get pain issues, or maybe you get inflammation here or there. It's sort of like the weakest link goes first. And that's why CBD is able to help so many people with so many different conditions.
You know, I've never heard it explained that way. You really did a really good job with that. So I really appreciate that. That's awesome. Listen, I got to close out this segment of our show. And then for some of my audience, you're going to have additional segments of this. So I got to close this one out with Noah. And then for those of you that are continuing on our TV stations, we'll have this other segment there for you also. And also you can get this second segment at the voicesofcourage.us. So welcome back to the show, everybody. Wow, this is amazing information. Like I've said, you know, I just really haven't heard it put that way before. Noah, you have a 7 levels of change. Did this come out of the work with your company, with CBD company, and or with your dad, or where did you figure out the 7 levels of change?
So I'd say the 7 levels of change came out of the last 13 years, I guess 12 years at that time, of working with clients. And I've helped people achieve results in all areas of their life. I've helped, obviously, my dad bounce back from a stage 4 death sentence, right? And I've helped people grow their businesses by millions of dollars. And I've helped people get into their dream relationships and out of toxic ones. And I've helped people find that deeper connection within themselves, that spirit, that light, that contentment and peace, whatever you want to call it, right? So the 4 major areas of life, I've helped people in all those areas. And when I was looking at the stats, where you see that over 92% of all goals that people set go unmet, right? It's the reason why people, you know, fill up the gyms in January and the gyms empty back out in February. And I was thinking, why is that? And I realized because of these 7 levels and people's lack of awareness of them, that's why people aren't achieving what they want to achieve and as far as creating lasting positive change in their life. And since we're doing a video show, if you'd like, I could share a graphic that makes it pretty simple to illustrate how these seven levels work and what they
are. Absolutely. By the way, we put your website up there, feelgoodlibrary.com, where they can kind of find you and find some of your tools up there. Go ahead. Yeah.
Play
the video.
Let me just, I have to give it an okay. Let me just say.
How long is it, Noah?
It's not a video. It's just, can you see this graphic right here?
I can see the graphic. Yeah, let's see. I'll add that to the stream here. Yeah.
Cool. Mm-hmm. And I'll just talk through it real quick. So the third level, actions, habits, systems. This is what we're all so familiar with. I'll give a really simple example. Someone wants to lose weight. They want to get in shape. What do? They say, I'm going to go to the gym this often. I'm going to eat this way. I'm going to drink this much water. I'm going to go for this many walks, right? I'm going to do these things. And so why is it though that 90%+ of those people fail to do those things? Why can't we do what we say we want to do, what we know we want to do? Well, it's because of these other seven levels and our lack of awareness or strategy around them. So let me start with the bottom, environment and community. Obviously, if you're living in a house full of people who order McDonald's for dinner every night versus if you're living in a house where there's nothing but whole natural foods in your fridge, one of them is going to help you towards your goal. The other one is not, right? And that's super important, right? It's like you become the five people you spend the most time with. Well, your environment and your community can either support you going the direction you want or it can hinder it. And it's a big hurdle to overcome if it's hindering it. The next layer up is energy and vitality, having it in high supply, right? If we're going to create change, well, guess what happens? The second you say, I want to create some positive change in my life, there is an equal and opposite reaction in this dualistic world we live in called resistance, called negativity, called ego, whatever you want to call it, called Satan, even if you want to get that extreme. It's the opposite force of your good intentions, and it's here to try to stop you. So you're going to need some energy. You're going to need some vitality to be able to actually break through in your life. And this is where I often mention CBD, because if our body's dealing with inflammation or we're not sleeping good enough, and we can change that just by getting some cannabinoids, some CBD in our body, have more energy, guess what? You're going to be much more likely to achieve your goal. This is also like looking at your media that you're consuming and where you're putting your attention and your time. Are these things adding to my energy and vitality or taking, right? And just an audit of where your energy is going and if it's not going towards what's going to create your goal and your results. So going up from actions and habits, your skills and your strategy, right? This is very much like that quote from Abraham Lincoln where he says, if I had 6 hours to chop down a cherry tree, I'd spend the first 4 sharpening my axe. Right? It's about understanding, okay, skills and strategy. Do you know how to work out in this example? Do you have the right approach for the goals that you have? Do you want to trim down? Do you want to bulk up? What's the difference in how you should work out at the gym, or what's the difference in what you should be doing? This is about understanding and mastering your approach to achieve what you want to achieve and actually giving it the thought and the wherewithal to do so. The next one, this one is huge. And it took me about 10 years of my own personal development journey to figure this out. But this next one is your nervous system. And I say freedom from your past because there's a very famous book on this topic. It's called The Body Keeps Score. And what they know is that not only do you have a brain in your head, but you have a brain in your heart and you have a brain in your gut. There's literally neural networks there. That's why people say, I know in my heart that blah, or I know in my gut that blah. And also every cell in your body has the ability and the capacity for memory and intelligence. That's why in yoga, they call it the mental body instead of the mental mind, because your whole body has this intelligence. And guess what? It keeps score. It has a memory. So if, for example, you were the fat kid growing up and you always got made fun of by the jocks, well, guess what's going to happen when you go to the gym? If you haven't processed that energy and removed it out of your nervous system, you're going to be at the gym looking at the fit people, having a pity party for yourself, thinking that they are noticing you and making fun of you or something weird like that, when you can actually use techniques like tapping, EFT, which I love to teach, to remove that energy from your nervous system, to give you a clean slate, to start from nothing, have freedom from your past. And it's critically important, and it's made a huge difference in my own personal development journey. And it's a place that most people don't even realize they can look for. Why am I stuck in repeating patterns? Why am I not achieving what I want to achieve? Next from there, a lot of people are, you know, recognize this, but your identity, your values, your beliefs, you got to know what you believe, not only in your conscious mind, but your subconscious mind, which is running 95% of the program. And what I always love to say about this is that belief precedes response. So very quick example, Ken, if I'm in the forest and I see a black bear charging at me, my body is going to go into an entire series of reactions. I'm going to have blood rush to my hands and my feet to get moving. I'm going to have cortisol release, adrenaline release. I am going to have an entire physical, psychological reaction, right? Now, if the only thing that changes about the situation is my belief, That's not a bear charging me. That's my buddy, and he's wearing a bear suit, and he's messing with me. It doesn't matter if it's actually a bear. None of that stuff will happen in my body. I'll have none of those reactions, and then the bear might just get to me and eat me, and I'll be like, oh, crap, it is a bear, right? But my belief changed, so my response changed. And so people need to know that understanding and mastering your inner values, beliefs, and identity, it shapes everything about what you actually do as far as your actions out in the world. And then the last layer is your intuition and your purpose and living intentionally. And what I call this is sort of like your connection to your deeper knowing, to your inner wisdom, to your cosmic consciousness, to your universal self, to your soul, to your spirit, to whatever you want to call it, to your God self, whatever works for you, to your higher knowing, your higher self. The reason this is so important is because so often people are chasing things that are not meant for them. Quick example here. Back in the day, I had a vision board on my wall, and there was women on this board, and they were like porn star looking women, right? With like big fake breasts and barely any clothes on. And I was trying to manifest more of these into my life, right? Well, flash forward a few years later, where I actually know myself a little bit deeper, have cleared off some more layers of societal programming and all of that. And I have a different vision board on the wall. And this time the girl is wearing a white sundress spinning in a field of daisies. You know, what changed? And now I'm married for over 5 years now, and my wife is much more the woman in a field of daisies than she is the porn star by far. So why was I chasing something that wasn't for me? Maybe it had something to do with what society says is cool, or what TV says is cool, or my friends, or, you know, it's not for me though. And so you can't ever have something in this life that's not for you, because the creator loves you too much. And so to actually get in touch with that and to source your desires from that is one of the wisest things you can do. And, you know, we give courses on how to increase your intuition and all these kinds of things. We have courses to address all seven of these layers at the Feel Good Library, because we are committed not just to selling CBD and having people, you know, claiming that CBD is the magic bullet for all your issues. Yes, it's amazing. And we want to give you these other things to feel good naturally, because human beings, man, we are multifaceted, multidimensional, complex organisms, more than anyone I think could ever know.
Yeah. Boy, isn't that the truth? You know, and I'll summarize that too. And then I got to take a quick break. But, you know, I would say, you know, everything comes out of this thing we call God or universe or spirit. And in out of that comes individual souls. So spirit is over the soul. The soul is over the mind, conscious, subconscious, superconscious. Mm-hmm. The mind is over our emotions, emotions over actions, actions over results, and results over our destiny. So what we're talking about here is levels of consciousness that we can tune into to be able to change how we show up in the world. So healing is all about where we start our healing. Well, it's all an inside game, unless you have a son like Noah, and then he says, hey, I'm going to kick your ass if you don't drink my juice. So sometimes it can come from the outside in, and then other times it's from the inside out. It can go both ways. Yeah. But either way, we're talking about, you know, if you're listening to the show today and you've got challenges going on in your life, I really want you to think about, what is it that you can do today to change that up immediately? You know, change your mind. Change your mind. Think differently. Tell a new story. Anyway, Noah, I'll be right back, and we're going to continue this conversation after we take a quick break.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Well, welcome back, everybody. This is Ken D. Foster. The name of this show, if you don't already know, is The Courage to Rebuild, Realign, and Feel Good. And I really like Noah's approach, because what he's talking about, he's got an amazing company that sells CBD products, but we're also talking about a company that is there committed to your mental, emotional, and physical growth that'll help you to change in a whole bunch of different ways. Noah, you know, the healing power of the mind is incredible. That combined with the right nutrition and right nutrients along with exercise is the key to amazing health. How did you discover that? How did you get onto that, by the way? I need to back up. What was your story? How did you get there?
It's actually kind of interesting. I went to college to be an engineer. And by going through so many levels of physics, again, which pinnacles at quantum physics, which sort of is pseudo-spiritual and bridges into spirituality, that's what took me out of my left brain into my right and started to have me go down the spiritual rabbit hole, so to speak, and the personal development rabbit hole, which actually also started off as sort of like a quest to be good with ladies in college. I started learning so much about psychology and social dynamics and all these things because after me and my high school girlfriend split, I realized I just had no idea what I was doing. And it started off as this quest to be like the man. And then I eventually started teaching other guys how to tap into their natural confidence, how to ditch their negative programming, how to be naturally magnetic to women. And then eventually I was like, this is so much bigger than dating and relationships. This is about holistic healing. This is about living your best life possible. This is about unlocking your true potential. And I feel like my audience really can relate to that, that they have this feeling that it's like, who I am is great and all, but there's a next level for me and I'm not tapping into it. And I think all these years of just relentless, I mean, I can't even tell you how many personal development, spiritual psychology, alternative healing books that I've read. But I think I just am fortunate to have a curious mind. And really, I can thank quantum physics for unlocking that. When I really knew scientifically and factually, we are 99.9% empty space, and so is everything else around us. And that is a fact. It really took me out of the place where it's like, I know what's going on here, to a place of, I don't even know what I don't know, which only continues to grow as you start to really go down this path. Like the more you know, the more you realize you don't know anything. And eating humble pie every day is the best way to keep your cup empty and keep filling it with new, great insight and experiences and all of that.
Boy, isn't that the truth? That words of wisdom coming out of a young man compared to me, relatively speaking. So you're really ahead of the curve there, man. I really appreciate that. Thanks, you know, brother. A lot of times people have a challenge seeing things that they haven't seen before and doing things they've never done before. I'm sure that, you know, that might have impacted you in some point in your life. What kind of advice do you give individuals to be able to like even embrace CBD? I mean, that's like, wow, you know, I'm not smoking pot. I'm not going to do that. I'm not put that in my life. Well, I've heard a lot of stories about that. That's going to ruin my life. You know, how do you help people to see things that they haven't been able to see and experience things they haven't been able to experience?
Yeah, it's a great question. And the first thing that pops into my mind is that quote, when you know better, you do better. Right. So when you know better, you do better. Right. At one point, I thought that the pinnacle of life was to be strong, tough, with a hot chick on my arm, making $1 million. And then I realized that there's deeper meaning to life to be had. You know, once I had that, it was like, great. Okay. Now what? And I think the now what question is what we all need to be asking. And then you also need to realize that there is just mechanical solutions as well. Like our brain literally builds grooves and patterns that make it faster for neurons to fire in a specific way. So if every day we come out of our house and we go left and we go left and we go left, our brain actually makes it easier for us to go left, to go left, to go left. It's a natural biological support mechanism to make us, human beings essentially want to be as lazy as possible. And that's the downward force that we have to combat when you want to have an evolution of your consciousness or your life experience. When you want to experience something new, you have to do something new. And like I said before, anytime you summon the courage, the tenacity, and the desire to make a positive lasting change happen in your life, what gets summoned right after that is the dragon that wants to fight you. You are the knight. The dragon, it cannot defeat you as long as you stay persistent. And just like in fairy tales and magical stories, there's always a wizard, a magical tome, or some sort of intervention from the divine that wants to come in and support the knight in its seemingly perilous journey. You are that knight, and the support is out there. So I think a very simple thing that I can share, when you're in these times where you want to make change and you're dealing with difficulty, a simple breath to breathe in support and to breathe out resistance. To take one deep breath and to feel that that magical support intervention, that divine light that wants to support you in this seemingly perilous journey of change, breathing in that support and just breathing out, letting go of the things that are holding you back, the resistance, right? And just even if it's just a mental mantra, so to speak, the breath in the Bhagavad Gita, I'm sure you probably know this, Ken, but in the Bhagavad Gita, the breath is the greatest warrior on the side of the hero, Arjuna. And so that says something, right? If there was a Bible for yogis, that's what it would be. You know, there really isn't, but it's basically the spiritual journey of growth and accomplishment and oneness, yeah, realization, you know, yeah, summarized in just a few short pages. So take that into account. You know, this ancient wisdom.
Well, listen, I got to wrap up and give the audience your website one more time.
So feelgoodlibrary.com is where we have an entire free platform of courses to support your journey. And feelgoodhemp.org is where you can find all of our hemp CBD products and get yourself some of that great CBD. And I also have a YouTube channel. You can just find me on YouTube at my name, Noah Hammond Terrell. And we make content and we're here to support.
Love it, man. Hey, I hope you come back. That was fun. I love it. Yeah, you got a lot of great information. Down, you Ken, did a great you. Job, and I really appreciate you being on the show. Thanks so much.
You got it.
So for all of you, I want to thank you so much for tuning in. This is a show that, you know what, I really encourage you to pass on to your family and friends. I think that they'll benefit from this. Hearing his story, hearing his dad's story, and hearing that there are alternative ways to really look at your healing journey. I hope you'll really take that into heart. And for all of you, I hope you'll continue to watch the show and follow us on YouTube, follow us on Twitter and Facebook and all the social media sites, and go to voiceofcourage.us to download all of our shows. From my heart to yours, may you continue to see the unseeable and know the unknowable and do the impossible.